Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. This is our opening scripture, our main scripture for today's message. The message is whole heart, willing mind is what the message is. So look at the scripture with me. Ready? "And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately." Look at somebody and say, intimately. "Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every thought, a plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Okay, so this is the scripture. So let's pray. All right, bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to hear your word one more time. I pray, God, that you do everything you desire to do in our hearts and in our minds. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to your word. Everybody in the congregation, I want you to say this after me. Say, Father, speak to me, teach me, mold me, shape me into your will, all for your glory. Amen. Amen. All right. So the message today, whole heart, willing mind. This is what God is looking for. God is looking for a person. What he's looking for is people who will worship him and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. A whole heart and a willing mind. You've heard the saying before, either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. How many of you heard that saying before? He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Some people find this saying offensive and harsh. Some people will find this saying offensive to them. They're like, man, how can you say that? But it's the truth. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all in your life. He can't be partial Lord. Amen? Okay, but let's look at it in the word of God, words of God himself. Let's look at his word to see what he's saying about that. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says this. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" Now, let me just stop right there and say, this is not a suggestion, is it? The word is clear. This is a requirement of God. All right? Last week when Kim was preaching, she said that every word counts. How many of you believe that? That every word counts. Every word counts. Not only does every word count in the word of God, but every word counts that's coming out of our mouths. How many of you know that? If you were here Wednesday night in the starting the complaining cure, we talked about that this past Wednesday night. Every word we speak counts. The Bible says that the power of life is in the tongue, okay? The tongue holds the power of death and life. The tongue holds the power of death and life. It's in the tongue. So every word we speak counts, but every word in the word of God counts. You can't read a scripture and just skip words. That's right. So the Lord's saying, what does the Lord require, your God require of you? Here's what he requires. Look further. He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. So all your heart and soul. What is the soul? The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. That's what the soul is made up of, the mind, will, and emotions. So the Lord is saying to love him with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul. Then we read in Matthew chapter 22, when the Sadducees tried to trap Jesus. If you've read this chapter before, you've seen this, but it's happened all throughout the scriptures we see this. But the Sadducees tried to trap Jesus, and it didn't work. So the Pharisees thought, we're smarter, let us give it a try, right? Because that's the way they did, right? We're smarter, you couldn't trap them, so let us give it a try. So they got their expert, the Bible says they got their expert in religious law and tried to trap him with this question. Here's the question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, before I give you the answer, and we read the answer, which is probably, that's not on the screen, good job. Before we read that, let me just say this. Don't you find it interesting how we as human beings think that we can outsmart God or outthink God or hide things from God? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? God sometimes has a plan for our lives, has a way for us to go, but we think we have a better way or a better plan or a better idea Or there are times that we think that we can hide things from God, things that are in our lives that we know are there. Holy Spirit has convicted us of these things, but we think that we can just cover it up and God won't notice it. Maybe he's too busy with all the other 8 billion people on the planet, and he won't pay attention to what's going on in my life right now, at this moment. But see, the Bible says that God sees every heart.
That's right.
And he knows every thought and plan.
Yes.
Every single one. There's not one that's left out. There's not one time that you can do something that God goes, oh, wait, what did you do? I didn't see that. There's not one time that you can think something that God goes, wait, what did you just think? I'd missed that. I was watching the ball game. There's not one time that God goes, wait, I don't really know what's in his heart. He's covered it up so well. But we as human beings think that we can deceive God, that we can fool God, that we can cover things up because we do it with people so often. Woo! Hold on. I'm talking about the heart here. I'm talking about the whole heart. So let me just do this for a little while so you're paying attention. Yes, and after service, I am going to go to the lake and get in this. But we think we can do this. So the Sadducees and the Pharisees thought they could trap Jesus. I mean, I get it. Some of you say, well, they didn't know he was the Son of God. Yeah, but they had every opportunity to know.
That's right.
He was right before them. Remember, these were experts in religious law. These were experts in the scriptures. They knew the scriptures way better than you and I know them. And they had every opportunity. So I find that interesting. And I'm going to get to this in just a few minutes about how we think we can outsmart God. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But let me just give you the answer. So Jesus answers this question, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses. He said, Jesus replied, you must love. Wait, hold on. You must. Say it again. You must. You must. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. Not a suggestion. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. You must love the Lord your God with all of it, every part of it. God wants to settle some things in our hearts. He wants to settle some things, especially when it comes to whether we are all in when it comes to our relationship with him. Because it's easy to say we're all in, but it's a whole lot harder to be all in.
Yep.
Oh, come on, y'all. Talk back to me today a little bit. Is that true or not? It's easy to say, oh, yeah, I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, I serve Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's my King and my Lord, especially when things are going well. But when things aren't going well, do you still feel the same way? Are you still all in? Everybody's all in when it's sign me up for the blessings and sign me up for the prosperity and sign me up for opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that we cannot contain. But there are very few people who are all in, hey, sign me up for trials and persecution. Sign me up for maybe losing my life for the kingdom of God. Right? And when you're serving him with your whole heart, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you're like, I'm for Jesus. I'm with Jesus. He is my Lord. I'm hitting all kinds of things up here with this thing as I'm turning. I've never preached with one of these on before. You're taking a picture? Go ahead. I'll pose. Did you get it? Was it a good one? You need another one? Okay. You know that's what we do, too. We just stand there. They've already taken 30 on those phones now. You know what I mean? You just hold the button down. They're like, okay. The question is, do we want to walk in the fullness of his love and his plans? Or do we want to spend our lives chasing after the world's empty pleasures? You can't, oh, please hear me today. If you didn't hear anything else today, hear this. You can't do both. He wants your whole heart, not just part of it, your whole heart. It's a requirement of God. It's a requirement to give him your whole heart, no matter what. See, the enemy will say things like, well, why not push the limits and live for the now and worry about the future later, worry about eternity later? Why don't you just go for everything that you can right now? The enemy is very strategic with his plans to derail us and distract us. He cleverly makes his temptations seem so harmless or even noble. Come on, y'all. You think the enemy just tempts you with things that are evil and that look evil? No, he'll tempt you with things that look good and noble, but they're not God's plan for your life, and they're not God's plan for the way he wants to do things. God, sometimes things can look noble, but they're not noble at all. Sometimes things can look right, but they're not right at all. They're cleverly disguised and packaged by the enemy, and they're a way to try to deceive us to get off the path, the one I talked about a couple of weeks ago that Jesus is leading us down, and get onto the wide road. See, the word of God is very precise. It's truth. There is no other truth. You can't shade it and call it truth. It's only the truth of the Word of God, and you have to stand upon that truth, and even when it's uncomfortable for you, stay on the truth. Amen. Which means when somebody does something to you, you can't do what the enemy would tempt you to do and just slap them in the face. But I know you all are such sweet people. None of you have ever been tempted to do that like I have. One time, I used to say, man, I felt the spirit of slap come all over me. But that's not the Spirit of God. That's not his word. The Word of God says if somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the whole heart. Whole heart. Are you willing to give him your whole heart? Because that's what that looks like. Hello, look at somebody. Say, that's what that looks like. Right? Half a heart is, what did you just do? Come a little closer. Whoa, my hand slipped. And we try to cover it up. God, I didn't mean that. My hand slipped. You saw it. It slipped. Whole heart. He wants every part of you. Lisa Turker says this way. She said, God made us for the relationship of his perfect love. But if we're always chasing after other things, we'll never experience the fullness of that love. If we're always chasing after other things, then we're not giving him our whole heart. And we're not going to experience the fullness of his love. There are many people in the church today, I'm talking to Christians today, there are many people in the church today that you are wanting to experience the fullness of God's love, and you wonder why there's so much turmoil in your life. Yes, some of it is trial from the enemy that comes upon Christians, but sometimes we go through turmoil of our own making. Hello? Our own making. We made decisions, we made choices, we didn't give God our whole heart. He had a good plan for us and we didn't give him our whole heart. We thought we knew better, we thought we could make a better choice, we thought we had a better path, and we went down that path and we're reaping the consequences of that. And we're not experiencing the fullness of his love because in those moments, oh please, this is so good, this is not because I'm good, it's because his word is good, okay? This is speaking to my heart today. This is so good if we'll get a hold of this. And when you go through those trials, even if it's of your own making, when you go through things like that, if you're not experiencing the fullness of his love, you're going to come up short. You're going to be missing some things that you desperately need at that moment in your life. Come on, anybody go through some trials and tribulations and difficulties, and you're like, God, I need you. I don't feel you right now. I don't know why, and you just felt like in turmoil and desperation. Come on, anybody felt despair before in their life? Anybody felt that from the enemy upon them so heavy you didn't know how to get through the next hour of your life? But when you have the fullness of his love, because you gave him your whole heart, it doesn't matter what you go through. You can hold your head high and you can walk because you know that the King of glory is inside of you. See, there's a big difference between the half-hearted approach to God and wholehearted devotion. It's a big difference. The half-hearted approach is where we find God's people in the passage of Scripture in Hosea chapter 10. Hosea 10 opens with the initial appearance that all is well with the Israelites. It looks like everything is well. They're flourishing, and then they're in a season of plenty, and everything's going well. Anyone looking at them from the outside would probably assume that God is pleased with them and greatly blessing them. But Hosea lets the Israelites know that God is anything but pleased with them. Hosea lets the Israelites know that God is not pleased, and that their season of plenty and fruitfulness is about to be replaced with one of destruction and barrenness. Why? Well, explains it in Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. Look at that with me. It says their heart, everybody say their heart. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. These are the people of God, serving God. Yet their hearts were deceitful. The Hebrew word for this word deceit is halak. Halak, and it means divided, smooth, or slippery. Their hearts were divided or slippery. God, in other words, God didn't have their whole hearts. Their hearts were deceived and divided. Instead of worshiping God with their whole hearts, the Israelites turned to their pagan altars. Instead of worshiping God with their whole hearts and trusting in the Lord, they put their faith in rebellious and evil kings. Instead of trusting God and worshiping Him with their hearts were divided. They only gave God a piece of their hearts, and they held the rest of their heart out here for them and for what they wanted to do. For how they wanted to live and the things of their life that they needed. God wants your whole heart. They ignored God's warnings to tear down their altars, failing to realize that divided their affections and that would always be detrimental to a life of devotion. They failed to realize this, and as they chased after their idols, they wandered away from their covenant relationship with the Lord. I want to give you an example of this. I want to show you, and then I'm going to move on to the mind and then end this message. But I want to show you an example of this in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. Look at that with me. 2 Chronicles 16. It'll be on the screen, but if you have it in your Bible, I want you to highlight some things and see things here. It says, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, and who was the ruling in Damascus, along with this message. He said, let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone. Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ilan, Dan, Abel, Beth Makkah, and all the store cities of Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and stopped all the work on it. Then King Asa called out to the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. As Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. Now watch this. Watch. Verse 9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. What a fool you have been, Asa. From now on, you will be at war. Why? Because he used to have his heart fully devoted to the Lord. And now his heart was divided. He was not just doing things for the Lord. Listen to me, everybody. Listen to me, everybody watching today. He was doing things half for the Lord and half for his own purposes, for his own plans, for his own agendas, for all the things that he had in his heart that were not of God. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You cannot claim him to be your Lord and go about your own plans. Their wickedness. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. And it's a trick of the enemy. And it happens to followers of the Lord all the time. At one point in all of our lives, this has happened. At one point in our lives, we're serving the Lord, and then we were half devoted because we were devoted to other things that we wanted to do. Come on, can anybody just be real and testify this morning? Say, yeah, that was me. I went through that. Yeah, I did things in my life that I know weren't of the Lord. He wasn't pleased with them. No, there's nobody in this place that can't raise their hand. We've all done it. Listen to this. Asa was so mad at Hanani for bringing the word of the Lord to him that he threw Hanani in prison. And from that moment on, Asa's life fell to pieces. The Lord was still at this moment giving him an opportunity, and Asa refused to see it, and his life fell to pieces. From that moment on, he became mean, brutally mean and oppressive to all his people. He developed a severe foot disease. Read about it. It's there. A severe athlete's foot. That's a joke. I don't know if it was athlete's foot or not. But it was so severe, it killed him. Just a couple years later, the foot disease killed him. Oh, if you ever heard the word of the Lord, there's a time to hear it. Well, this message a couple weeks ago when I had those boards, the narrow road, what do we use to walk on the narrow road? Our feet. When we put on the armor of God, helmet of salvation, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, the readiness of the gospel of peace. Whole heart. Whole heart. God's looking for our whole heart. Okay, let's talk about the mind. Good, because I was getting hot with that on right there. So what does it mean? A willing mind. Why did David exhort Solomon to not only serve the Lord with a whole heart, but with a willing mind? I alluded to this earlier. So for that prop, I got a brain. If I only had a brain, here you go. Got a brain. A willing mind. I alluded to this earlier. I talked about we human beings have a way of thinking we can outsmart God or fool him or whatever. We have a way of sometimes thinking higher of ourselves than we ought to. You know what I mean? If you don't know what I mean, it's called pride. Pride. When you think higher of yourself than you should, right? I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that you have a plan that's better than God's plan, or if you think that, you know, you can fool God or cover things up, that's pride. That's causing you to do that. Pride will cause you to think that God doesn't see every plan and every thought. Pride will cause you to think that God doesn't see your heart. Because if we really, I mean, I don't know about you, but man, if I really knew that, intimately knew that and understood that, and I'm trying to serve the Lord, would I want to do those things, right? Would I just go off and do the things that are against the word of God? Pride is what drove the Sadducees and the Pharisees to think that they could trap Jesus. It's pride. Why didn't they see Jesus for the Son of God? He was right in front of them. He was right there. He talked with them. He touched them. Why didn't they see him? He was right there. The Son of God was right there. Why didn't they see it? They're experts in religious law. They knew the scriptures so well, but they couldn't see. They knew the Messiah was coming, and he came, and he was right in front of them, and they couldn't see him. Why? Pride. Pride. Pride in your heart will cause things to happen that you don't understand. And it's this pride that drove them. It's pride that caused them to miss the fact that he was standing in front of them. It was pride that causes us to think that our plans and our ways and our objectives and anything else is best. Pride is what will cause us to be convinced that we're on a mission from God when the things that we're doing only disgust him and infuriate him and break his heart. It's true. Do you know how many people throughout the thousands of years have said they're on a mission from God, and what did they do? Despicable things, right? Terrible things. Killing people. Slaughtering people in the name of the Lord. I'm talking after Jesus. But because they had pride in their hearts, the Pharisees and Sadducees did all these things in the name of God, thinking that they were following the word of God. There are a lot of people that think they're following the word of God, doing things in the name of God that are not of God at all. But because they had pride in their hearts, their minds were not willing to hear and know the thoughts and plans and ways of God. If your heart is divided, then your mind will be divided as well. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. There are these men, these scholars, Pharisees and Sadducees. They were very educated men. Like I said, they spent their entire lives studying the scriptures. Think about that. How much time do you spend studying the scriptures? They spent their entire lives. That's what they did day and night, night and day. They read the scriptures. They studied the scriptures. They were very educated. And so the Lord spoke something to my heart some time ago. And I wrote it down, and it's appropriate for today. He said this to me. He said, intelligence is of no benefit to you when it comes to spiritual matters. That's what he said. Intelligence is of no benefit to you when it comes to spiritual matters. And when he first spoke it to me, I was like, okay, let me think this through, right? Let me think this through, Lord. Is this sound? You know, when the Lord speaks something to me, one of the things, when I feel like he speaks something to me, one of the first things I do is go to Scripture, right? I talk to the Lord about it, but I want to go to Scripture, and I want to see, is this from the Lord? Like, does Scripture back this up? You should do that too, you know? If you feel like the Lord's speaking to your heart, like that word that I read this morning, I believe that's wholeheartedly backed up by Scripture. But you should go to Scripture and say, does Scripture back this up? Is it supported by the Word of God? Because God won't tell you something that's not supported by His Word. Amen? Okay, so I went to Scripture, and it's true. But I said, Lord, what does it mean? Show me. What does it mean? So he broke it down for me like this, okay, because this is how I need to hear from the Lord. You may not need to hear like this, but I need to hear like this, all right? So he spoke to me. He said, I can use the dumbest person on this planet just as much as I can use the most intelligent. Now, how many of you believe that's true? Raise your hand. Absolutely true, right? Why? Because God doesn't need anything from you. Woo! If you get a hold of this, it'll change your life. He doesn't need anything from you. He can be God all by himself. There's nothing you can do to help him. Except one thing. I'll give it to you in a second. Okay? But we need all of him. The truth is, there's nothing we can do good without him. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. There's nothing. You can do no good thing without God. Amen. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He needs a whole heart and a willing mind. I don't mean separated. I mean opened up to him. Ready to receive his thoughts and his plans and his ways and everything he wants to do in your life. You're a sponge. You're ready. Lord, download it. Download it. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. That's okay. Lord, download it. Doesn't have to make sense. I know it makes sense to you. I know you see my past, my present, and my future. I know, Lord, that you have a good plan for my life. I trust you, Father, so I'm giving you my whole heart and a willing mind. It does not look good for me right now, but I know you're in this. So he said, I can use the dumbest person as much as the most intelligent. He said, what I'm looking for, ready? This is the one thing that you can do. I'm looking for someone who give me their whole heart and a willing mind. That's what I'm looking for. That's all I need. And he's saying, that's all I need. I just need that. If you'll just give me that, boy, I'll do amazing things in your life. And then he said this to me, because this, again, how I need to hear from him, because this just solidified it for me right here. He said, if I can use a donkey, a rooster, and a herd of pigs, I can use you. How many will say amen to that? If I can use a donkey, a rooster, and a herd of pigs, I can use you, John. But some of you might be saying, okay, like me, well, I don't know that I'm even as smart as a donkey. So then he said, well then, how about this? If I can use a stick, a rock, and a bush, I can use you. If you don't think you're as smart as a stick, well, we need to talk. If I can use a stick, a rock, and a bush to accomplish my will, Jimmy, I can use you. I can use you. Look at somebody and say, God can use you. Come on, look at them and say, God can use you. All he's looking for, say it with me, a whole heart and a willing mind. That's what he's looking for. So the question is, have you given him your whole heart? And do you have a willing mind to receive everything that the Lord wants for your life, all of his plans, his wisdom, his purpose, and his ways? Are you open to that? We ask the Lord at the beginning of this message to open our hearts and our minds to his word and his spirit. We ask Holy Spirit to reveal things to us during this message. So right now, I want you to close your eyes, and we're going to pray. And this is what I'm asking. Father, you heard their prayer at the beginning of this message. Father, I want you to bring to light what you've revealed to them during this message. To us, Father. Is there any part of our hearts, Father, that do not belong to you? Father, are there places in our minds that are not willing to receive what you have for us? I pray, Holy Spirit, reveal that right now in the name of Jesus. What I want you to do, very simple. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but we want to pray together. If the Holy Spirit, the Lord, revealed anything to your heart and mind today, I just want you to stand. The Lord revealed something that's there, something that's holding you back, something that's there. Maybe you haven't given him your whole heart or your whole mind, or maybe there's just areas in your mind man, I've been fighting with God on this. I've been going back and forth, not been really receptive to his plans. Come on, anybody else, stand. Let's just deal with it today, once and for all. All right. right? Anybody else, if you want to stand, I'm going to give another second or two for you to stand. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. All right, I want you to put your hand on your heart. We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray for you, but you pray and ask God as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's powerful and sharp and it cuts to the heart of the matter. And Lord, today we're asking you to forgive us for not giving you all of our hearts and having completely willing minds to receive your plans and your thoughts and your ways. Father, we ask you today, heal our hearts, heal our minds. Lord, I pray that you receive today our whole heart, our willing minds. Lord, you see it. You know. You know whether we're telling you the truth or not, whether we're giving it all to you or not. So today, this day, Father, we give it all to you. We give it all to you. Let there be no place in us, Father, that does not belong to you. No place. And in the name of Jesus, I come against every act of the enemy, every demonic spirit that would try to lie to us and tell us that we didn't deal with this today. In the name of Jesus, I crush and demolish those lies. And I say, Father, speak your truth to our hearts and our minds. And for this, Lord, we'll give you all glory and praise in the name of Jesus.